Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart. Sing.
Do you want to sing?
Sing. Open the eyes. Come on, congregation. Shining, pour out. Continue to stand as we read the scripture. We need our eyes opened. Notice it doesn't say open these eyes in our head. Just open the eyes of our heart. Because sometimes the eyes in your head will deceive you. Amen. Second Chronicles is our text for today. Chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 11, it reads, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.'" As you are taking your seat, just turn to the person to your left or right and say, "Let us pray." This church has a deep history of prayer. Prayer as a framework of the things that we do. While I have only had the honor and privilege of being here a short time, we had a project that immediately had to be done. We were able to install railings to the left and to the right. And in the choir stand. And I, as I was helping to steward the project through and looking at the work and inspecting and going over, we got done and I got a phone call from Deacon Rush. He says, "Pastor Lyons, I know you may not know, but When we do something like that, we always dedicate it to the Lord. And I thought about that. It did my heart good because it's wood railings and metal supports. But there's something in the DNA of the church that says when God blesses us, even with something that can seem insignificant, we should pray. We should make sure we tell the Lord, thank you. Because even in the small things, sometimes we have a tendency of forgetting to tell the Lord, thank you. And I know that we just came out of the resurrection celebration, and it's easy for us to take a back seat on the excitement that many of us have felt during that time. But I got something that I want to say to y'all. He's still risen. He remains alive. And to this end, as we take this next series for this congregation forward, I'm going to spend the next 3 months dealing with prayer. How long did you say? 3 months. April, May, and June. Why so long? We know how to pray. Well, first of all, prayer is a learned behavior. Even the disciples didn't know how to pray, and they said, Lord, teach us. Second of all, because God is infinite, you never can exhaust your knowledge on prayer. Amen. There's always more that we need to learn. But thirdly, as I have said, prayer is one of what I consider to be the four pillars of a healthy church. You got doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. So I want to spend these next 3 months dealing with three major subjects within prayer: the purpose of prayer, the protocol of prayer, and the provision of prayer. The purpose of prayer: why do we pray? The protocol of prayer: how do we pray? The provision of prayer: what happens when we pray? Sadly, Tabernacle, some of us just pray traditionally. In other words, you pray what you heard. I grew up and I admired the old deacons. I grew up in the devotion era, where the deacons would come forward and they'd do devotion. I still ain't figured out why the deacons shook each other's hand at the end of, but it was a thing. It was song, scripture, prayer, song, and somewhere in that last song, they was gonna shake each other's hand. I guess they were saying, we glad to be here. And we admired the prayers of those deacons. Deacons would get down and begin to call on the name of the Lord. So all of us young guys, we started emulating the old deacons. We could pull back and rear just like they could, had no idea what we was talking about. And sadly, some of us are now a little older and still have no idea what we're talking about. Our text today shows us, I believe, a couple of profound keys. And Reverend Allen, the reason I didn't start with verse 14, that's the verse we like. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. We love that verse, but we don't look at the context. It says in verse 11, Solomon had finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace, and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. I've heard your prayer. Stop. So Solomon gets done building. But clearly we see from verse 12 that while Solomon was building, he was praying. He didn't wait to pray until after he got done. He was praying while he was building. This shows me that even Solomon, with all of his proclivities, knew, I bet not try anything without prayer. So many of us, we get so smart, we think we can move without praying. Come on, y'all. We think we can move through life and we don't have to seek the instruction of God. But even over the small things, we better pray. Even over these wooden rails and these metal supports, you better lift up your voice. Because there could have been a time, if you've read the history of this great church, as a matter of fact, there was a time where Pastor Broaddus came in and they didn't know how they were going to pay some bills. We thank God that we're not jumping from check to check. See, y'all. See, what happens in the body of Christ, especially with those of us who God has been good to, you forget where you come from. And when stuff starts working out for you, you stop praying. You stop, when you wake up in the morning, you stop answering the question, what shall I render? Amen. But some of us, I would hate for it to get to the point where you can't swing your legs around the bed before you say, Lord, I need you. Some of us, when you still got strength in your body, ought to say, Lord, I need you. And Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I don't want to move without you. And so Solomon, in our text, this man was doing it. He was building a house for God. And here were some things that he was doing. It's gold. It's huge. He had built this amazing place, but he prayed. And there's something in verse 12 that I want us to see. It's very important. The Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said, I've heard your prayer, chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Chosen this place for myself. Listen to what I'm about to say. Often when the Lord chooses a place for himself, it becomes a target. That includes you. Lord, why does it seem like I keep going through? Because he's chosen you for himself. The enemy doesn't attack people who are already his. That's not the way this works. I'm not going to tackle my teammate. So some of us in this room, show of hands, Tabernacle, how many of you have gone through a couple things this year already? Come on, show of hands. Don't be shy. You went through a couple things. All right, now instead of you complaining, Lord, thank you. Because apparently you saw something in me that I did not see in myself. Because I wouldn't have chosen this for me. Come on now. Anybody ever said, Lord, I wouldn't have chose this path for me. But God saw something in you. He knew you could make it. He knew on the other side of it that you were going to be better. He knew that even if he brought you to it, that as you prayed, you would work through it. He knew that that thing wasn't going to take you out. He knew that you would stay in your right mind, even when you didn't. Even when we were telling ourselves, there's no way I'm going to make it. The Lord knew something about you that sometimes you didn't know about you. And here it is, Solomon is being told, this is my place. And I stand before you to say, Tabernacle is his place. Even more, you are his place. How do you know? Because the scripture told me, we are his workmanship, created for good works. And there's going to be some people who don't want that good work. But you got to pray. What do I do when I'm a target? I pray. No. I want to have words with them. No, pray. Because if you get to saying what you want to say, oh, don't look at me like that. You get to telling them how you feel. Huh? See, this side of the room over here going to be honest. You get to talk about what you want to talk about. Because some of you, I told y'all before, you still know your compound complex cuss words. Yeah. You know just how to get them told. But the Lord's like, nah, pray. Bridle your mouth. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But what happens, people of God, is we don't pray until it gets bad. Which means we don't have a prayer habit. We got a prayer response. And that's different. See, if you only have a prayer response, that's like when they check your reflexes, right? And so it's bad reflex. It's bad reflex. And some of us do have a prayer reflex, but you got to have a prayer habit that I don't have to be hit to pray. See, my reflexes only go into play when they bring that little hammer out and they hit the area that makes you do something involuntarily. But I need to have a prayer habit that I did it on purpose. Huh? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that I pray without ceasing. Can I go just a step further? I used to wonder, Reverend Easton, how does one pray without ceasing? Because I got to go through life, and so how do I spend all day praying? Well, watch this. Prayer is communication. It's dialogue, not monologue with God. It's dialogue, not monologue. It's two-way, not one-way with God. But in order for that to happen without ceasing, your life got to pray even before your lips do. Everything in me should be communicating with God at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So your behavior should communicate with God even before your lips. Because if your behavior and your lips don't match, the Bible would call us hypocrites. So in our text, they're done. And the Lord says, you're a target. You're a target. This is my house. Target is on your back. And then he goes on in verse 13 and says, and if I shut up heaven so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Stop. I thought, I want the Lord, Reverend Jackson, to celebrate this moment. I just built you a house. We supposed to be praising God. But instead, God's communication to Solomon is, what if it stopped raining? What if everybody gets sick? And what if I send a famine? That's the text. If I shut up heaven, I command locusts to devour the land, and I send pestilence. Lord, could you at least say good job? I just built you a house. But the Lord's response is, what are you going to do if everything around you goes bad? That was God's response at the opening ceremony of the new church. New church is open and God says, I heard you praying. What you gonna do if it get bad? I know, Tabernacle, the things have been maybe going topsy-turvy all around us. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if things all around this area get bad? What are you going to do if things in your life get bad? Are you going to go and begin to say, woe is me? Are you going to stop worshiping God? Are you going to stop lifting your hands without wrath or doubting? What are you going to do if the government goes downhill? What are you going to do if the person you vote for don't make it in the office? Oh, yes, Lord. What are you going to do if your favorite candidate doesn't occupy your favorite seat? What are you going to do if the inflation numbers go up higher than they're going up already? What are you going to do if the cost of milk, cheese, bread, and eggs continue to rise? What are you going to do if the job numbers don't go your way in this community? What are you going to do if the infant mortality numbers in 45417 continue to be 6+1? 6 African-American women lose their children to one white individual every time there's a birth. What are you going to do when the homicide rates continue to go up in 45417 and 45402? What are you going to do when the housing market interest rates are so high that even people who have been saving can't afford to buy a house? What are you going to do when you've worked to get yourself in a position where you can at least be able to do a little bit of something for your children, but now you got to spend their college savings to make sure that same baby eats? What are you going to do? And you sit there and you say, I go to church every Sunday and I sing along with the choir. What am I going to do? Well, I am here to tell this great congregation, let us pray. I'll tell you what we do. That don't make a lot of sense. You got to have a different strategy. You got to have a different tool set. See, that's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong. You got to do all the back end stuff. I understand. We're gonna do that. We're gonna make sure that the infrastructure is right, and we're gonna be good stewards over the building, and we're gonna make sure that things are in place. We had somebody downstairs going ahead and looking at our kitchen and bringing our kitchen in top shelf shape, and we're gonna make sure that the building is in shape, and we're gonna make sure that the grounds are in shape. But let me tell you something. We can do all of that, but until we have the supernatural help of God, you gotta pray. You gotta pray. Because there comes a time where well-laid plans still don't work out. There comes a time where you've done everything you know to do, and still, come on now, something goes topsy-turvy. And if your hand is not in the hand of the Lord, and you don't know him for yourself, if you ain't got a relationship with God where you can call on him late in the midnight hour, if you don't have a relationship with God where there ain't nobody else in the room you can get a prayer through, it's going to be a problem. We got to pray. What happens? What happens when everything around us don't go right? Just tomorrow, as the eclipse happens and over 1 million people come into our community, and they're sitting there and they're saying, hey, I hope you stock up on food and you stock up on gas because there could be a shortage. And people brush it off as no big deal. Ain't no big deal. It ain't no problem, but watch this. There are some people who don't have no stock up money. They can't buy no extra water. They can't fill their car up with gas because this ain't the gas check. Y'all see, this ain't the payday that I get the gas. I don't get gas till next payday. You telling me to do extra? I ain't got extra. Come on in here. And it's sad because the church, for some of us, we've gotten so bourgeoisie that we can't help internally. Oh, we don't like this sermon. Come on now, we got to be able to help each other. That's how we made it through. We made it through by helping each other and being there for each other. When you had an extra bottle of water, you got an extra water for the person next to you. Y'all, come on now. I still remember where I would go across the street to my uncle's house and get some sugar. Because my Uncle Paul, y'all know Paul Dunson, my Uncle Paul lived across the street. And so my mama would say, run to Uncle Paul's house and go get some sugar. Because see, we didn't have none. But Uncle Paul did. And what that really meant is, we don't have none in our house. Y'all missed that. That's such a good word right there. I'm really almost done preaching. That it meant we didn't have none in our house. Because if my Uncle Paul had sugar, we had sugar. It just wasn't in our house. You can go get it. Come on now, what a mighty day it'll be when the body of Christ starts functioning like that again. That's not even a new thing. That's the way the body used to function. Come on, we would come together. I remember we had a meeting with the ministers a couple of weeks ago, and Reverend Jackson reminded me of a time where he says we had an all-night prayer lock-in. Something has happened where we don't want to pray no more. Something is happening in this community where we can't sit together and rock and lock arms with each other and call on the name of the Lord. And it ain't about personality. It's just about, God, we need to talk to you for a little while. We don't want to come to prayer. We can pack out a service for Sunday, but you can't get but a few when we call time for prayer. I think we need a prayer revival where there ain't no preaching, there's just praying. I think we need a prayer revival where we come together and just begin to call on the name of the Lord, and we come night after night until we feel that thing break. Come on now, because I'm here to declare that this community got a fever, and we better give it some prayer until the fever breaks. There is something going on up and down this street where we got babies getting strung out on drugs, and I want to know, do I have some people in this house that are praying until the fever breaks? There's something going on in this community where we got people on Main Street on fentanyl getting high right on the middle of the street. I want to know, do I have anybody that'll pray until the fever breaks? I just got some people right over here in this community that are struggling to make it day to day. Can I get some people to pray until the fever breaks? Every Wednesday from this street all the way down, there are people lined up at the food bank to get food. Can I get some people in here to pray until the fever breaks? Well, they just need to get a better job. Listen to us. Listen to us. They just need to work harder. Work harder. Who's going to employ them? There used to be a day where we owned businesses and we would employ people and we would train people and develop people. I talked to Deacon Harris the other day, who owns an electrical company. He said, can't find nobody to work. He need workers. Can't find nobody who wants to come to work and get trained and get a craft. Huh? Don't want to be an electrician. They want to be influencers. Y'all not in here. Let's talk to some young people right quick. Huh? You want to be TikTok famous, but come on now. In order for you to be TikTok famous, you need some TikTok work ethic. Come on now. You got to be able to work. Come on now. Come. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Come on, young people. I'm coming for you now. Yes, your turn. Come on now. We want all of these people who want to be YouTubers and TikTokers and Instagrammers and influencers, and you want people to send you stuff for free, but you don't have the work ethic for it. It begins with you making God your habit. If you want to do it, and don't let it get you. If you want to be out here and you don't want that industry to get you, you better make sure that you got God way down in your belly, because this industry will chew you up and spit you out. This world will chew you up and spit you out. But I talk to every young person that feels like the whole educational system has done you wrong. You can get there, but you gotta do it with Jesus. I talk to every young person who is trying to figure a new entrepreneurial path. You can get there, but you got to do it with Jesus. And then I need the older people. Them GM jobs is gone. Them 30-year and retired jobs is gone. But I need some of y'all to pull some of these young people up and say, listen here, baby, I got you, but you got to do it with Jesus. It's not that they're being rebellious, but you got to teach them the way. Give them the principle, and don't try to pull them back from the things of God. I don't want them to do all of that. You didn't want to do all that either. Let me say it. I'm done. He says this. What if it get bad? What if it gets just terrible? What if everything gets shut up? The reason I read the context, Deacon Johnson, is because we think verse 14 stands by itself. But verse 14 is actually the response to verse 13. That's why, let's put verse 13 back on the screen, and I'm going to be done. It says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, look at this translation, comma. It's a comma right there. Now put up verse 14. And is the very next verse, my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. Wait. If everything is going on, and he says, I don't care about the other people. I care about my people. I'll change the whole land, not according to what they do, but according to what my people do. Okay. If my people, we ain't even talking. See, we spend so much time talking about, look at them, look at them. I'm not them. I'm his person. My people who are called by Christian. 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 That's what I am. I am labeled with his name. If you study the book of Acts, it'll say the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And before they were called Christians, you know what they were just called? People of the way. We done made up a bunch of titles and left the way. Calling us everything but people of the way. What is people of the way? People who live the way and talk the way and love the way and care the way and treat other people like the way. He tells us, I am the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, you are not all of that, and pray. Seek my face and turn. I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal their land. The Lord can turn this whole city around if his people pray. He'll change everything if we pray. On this first Sunday, and I'm through, the deacons are in their white suits. And during the deacons' meeting, one deacon, I ain't gonna call Deacon Johnson's name. I'm not gonna tell y'all that it was Deacon Johnson, was not necessarily interested in going back in the white suit season. Now, I'm not gonna tell y'all which one of the Deacon Johnsons that it was, but it was one deacon of all the deacons. And maybe I can tell y'all later that it was Deacon Johnson, but I'm not going to tell y'all right now over the pulpit that it was Deacon Johnson. And this particular deacon, I think his last name was Johnson, didn't want to wear this white suit. So Deacon Scott says, well, Pastor, you decide. So I decided, they in white suits. Deacon Johnson grumbled a little bit, but he's in his white suit. And why you bring that up in a prayer? Because it's something about wearing white that makes you careful. It's something about wearing white that makes you watch where you sit. It's something about, ooh, I want to run, that wearing white that makes you watch what you consume. It's something about wearing white that makes you watch where you go. And the last time I checked, it is the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. So I needed these deacons on this first Sunday to show us what wearing white looks like. Because all of us should be white as snow. As Christians. Now, I mean, if you're not his people and called by his name, then I don't know. But Christians, we've been washed. It should make us watch where we go. Should make us watch where we sit. Should make us watch what we consume. Because I would hate to stain what he cleansed. We got to pray. Because we got a bunch of people naming the name of the Lord that are mighty stained. And it's showing out there. But if my people called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he'll hear us. He'll forgive us. He'll heal us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I honor you and give you praise. Lord, as we come before you and we stand before you, God, we know that you've done more for us than we deserve. And Lord, there's stuff going on out here. Stuff in this community that's not right. But God, we believe in the power of prayer. Allow this congregation to pray as we should. To lock back into prayer. To lean into prayer. To fall in love with prayer. To make prayer our habit and not just our reflex. I thank you for everything you're doing for this church. The small and the big things. You continue to bless us. And Lord, I thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap your hands.